Come on.
The Talk About.
Right now. Yeah. Let's go.
With the Juice Man, Jonathan Shaw.
Know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Come back.
On Flow 98.7.
And any man who knows a thing knows he knows not a damn thing at all. And every time I felt the hurt and I felt the giving getting me up off the wall. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breeze. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe.
How did Mandela get the will to surpass the everyday?
Flow 98.7, you're here on The Talk About with the Juice Man, Jonathan Shaw. We got about 39 minutes left in the show. But right about now, we're going to talk about something that's happening or happened in Toronto, and we want you to see it. And Simone is going to give you more information about what we are talking about right now on the show.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're going to pivot to something deeply rooted, but not often openly discussed. It's Somali tribalism and how it can shape, identify relationships, and even love. We're joined by the creative minds behind A Tribe Called Love, directed by Mohamed Ahmed. This Toronto-based film reimagines Romeo and Juliet through the lens of the Somali diaspora, telling the story of two young people from rival tribes navigating love under cultural and community pressures. The film is already being celebrated for its honest and powerful portrayal of love, identity, and generational tension. And since its premiere in Toronto, the film has built strong momentum, winning the Audience Choice Award at the Real World Film Festival. And, yep, and most recently screening at the Pan-African Film Festival in Los Angeles, where it was nominated for Best First Feature Film Narrative. And joining us live in studio, we have Andy Marshall, the producer of the film, Mohamed Ahmed, who is the writer and director. And we also have Faven Abera, who is actually the lead actress of the film. So welcome, guys, to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Of course, of course.
So this is filmed in Toronto.
That's right.
And I was looking at the trailer, and I'm usually real quick to find the exact location of where things are happening, but I couldn't figure it out. So could you tell me exactly the neighborhood that you filmed this movie?
I'm very surprised you couldn't figure it out.
Like, I looked at it, I was like, ah.
Most of it was in the West End of Toronto.
Okay.
So we shot in Dixon, right?
Ah, okay.
All right, you see that basketball court?
Yes, yes.
Right? Iconic.
Okay.
But now they changed it, so we were glad that we caught that scene. Jane and Wilson area.
Nice. You know what I was thinking that you I was looking at some of it and I was saying to myself, okay, this might be in the Overly area. Mm. I was thinking there. And then I was also thinking down by it's gentrified now, but Regent Park in yes. that area. I was looking at that area and I'm like saying, that could be no, maybe not.
where we were first in pre-production and trying to choose locations for the film, I wanted to make it very authentic mm-hmm. and have it in where the Somali community is heavily populated. And this was in the West End of the city of Toronto.
So let me just ask, Faven.
Hi.
Have you ever experienced personally tribalism within your own community, East African?
Yeah, actually. And not too long ago. And still kind of continuing on a little bit. So my family is from Tigray, so Tigray, Ethiopia. And from like 2021 or like 2022 to like a little bit of 2023, there was a civil war between the Ethiopian government and the Tigray people of northern Ethiopia. And in that time, that was my first experience of tribalism. So there was like a communication blackout. There was a lot of like, you know, ethnic tension between the Tigray people and the Amhara tribe in Ethiopia. And there was just a lot of like, interesting experience with what it means to be part of a tribe. So yeah, that was my experience.
Again, excuse my ignorance.
Yeah.
I'm Canadian born.
Yeah.
I have Jamaican parents.
Yeah.
Right? So the most tribalism I ever experienced is like, let's say, the Olympics or Caravana. Or, you know what I mean? Like, you know, everybody wave your flag. I have the Jamaican flag over my head and everybody else has the Trini flag or Guyanese or whatever the case would be. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just look at my own family and I say, okay, well, you know, my uncle is Guyanese, you know, my stepmom mm-hmm. is Trini, right? Mm-hmm. I got people from St. Lucia in my family as well too, right? Mm-hmm. We got a whole bunch of Jamaicans, whatever the case would be. So the most tribalism we even get just with Jamaica is, okay, you come from Clarendon, you come from St. James, another person comes from Hanover. Really much to do about nothing. But from your aspect, Muhammad, you directing this, you wrote it. What were you trying to let people know about the Somali East African culture?
Most importantly, it wasn't for a message for the outside world. It was more a cautionary tale for my own community.
Okay. Right?
I really wanted to tell that what has tribalism has done to our community. And it's not about where your family lineage is and stuff like that. It's more about us having a shared identity now. It's more important about your character, who you are, rather than, oh, you come from this tribe and being labeled this already.
We're in North America. We're in Canada. Should it matter? Should it really matter what tribe you come from? I mean, with all the other things we really have to think about on a daily basis. And again, I'm sorry if I sound like I'm 4 years old and I really don't understand, right? Because I know for some people, tribalism is a really serious issue within the community. I understand mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. But from a perspective of we're here in Canada now and we're just dealing with life. And we're dealing with so many other external things.
Uh-huh.
You know how people always say, oh, shouldn't we just come together and, you know, hey, 100%. Have a kumbaya moment and whatever, whatever. Yeah. What do you say to that when people say stuff like that to you?
No, tribalism is definitely evolving right now. The older generation, what you need to understand is tribalism originally was a form of community. Right? Support, protection, especially when there isn't a central government, you know what I mean? Or a strong government. So you need to rely on your clan of people. But now the younger generation are exploring it and talking about it honestly in the form of what it does to our community, what it does to our relationships, what it does to our families. So it is changing, but there's a yin and yang, you know? The diaspora are experiencing it differently than how people back home are experiencing it. Because mm-hmm. it's still heavily implemented in the government back home and in the society of back home.
What made you want to tell the story, A Tribe Called Love, from the lens of Romeo and Juliet?
It was, when you look at the story of Romeo and Juliet, at its core, it is about, you know, division, right? Community not coming together and keeping love apart. And we've had that in our community for a long time, right? Tribalism has affected a lot of aspects. And this one was, it's a universal story, right? But with the Somali element to it. And that's why I wanted to tell the Romeo and Juliet.
And Faven, I got a question for you. How did you become the lead actress in this? Like, what were the steps, you know, involved in this? Like how, for those out there, you know, they're, when we think about movies, sometimes we always think about, okay, well, you know, I have an agent and I need to go on this casting call. But we don't really see a lot of these type of films coming out of Toronto per se. Mm-hmm. How did this whole thing come together? I'm going to ask you from politically correct in 2026, actor's point of view.
Yeah.
And the director's point of view.
Actually, the story of how I got onto this project or even heard about this project is really interesting. It was at TIFF Top 10. 2023?
I think it was 2022.
When Brother was premiering?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was meeting a friend of mine, another director, and that was the first time we were ever connecting. And he was like, oh, just come to this TIFF Top 10 thing. We can hang out there. So I went. I love film. I love taking pictures on film. So I brought my film camera and I was taking photographs of my friends and everyone at the party. And then eventually, you know, I ran into Andy and it was just like us. I think the party was dissipating a little bit. And so Andy and I got to talking and we were having a really cool conversation. And he asked me, what are your goals? Like, what do you wish to accomplish with your career? And at the time I hadn't really done, like my career was just kind of starting. So I was just really honest and I literally said, you know, I've had some really cool opportunities to be on TV and to build my career. But honestly, I just want to book my first feature film. Like that's what I want to do. and then he looks down and he sees my film camera and he goes, is that a film camera? And I was like, yeah. He's like, you take pictures with that thing? That's real? And I'm like, yeah, it's real. And then we exchanged emails and then I met Muhammad and then it kind of went on from there. And then but I still had to audition for it. And I still had to go through rounds of auditions and still do the whole process. But that was the initial spark.
If I can jump in. It's,
definitely.
It's when I saw her, Muhammad and I have been working on the script and our lead character loved to take pictures with a film camera, which I hadn't seen often in real life. So I see Faven with her camera. And she's dressed exactly like how the character is in her script. I'm like, if she's an actress, this is done.
divine intervention, so to speak.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, with filming a project in Toronto, and then we all know that Toronto is basically like Hollywood North now. Is it easier for a director and a producer to film something in basically your home city? Or is it harder because you actually are from here and you have to go through, you know, the whole aspect of permits and trailers and budgets and all that other wonderful stuff? Whoever wants to, you know, whether it be Andy or Muhammad going through, you know, answering this question.
I'm going to let the producer answer that question.
All right, cool. I think it's easier to shoot here. Easier in the sense that you know the crew, you know the cast. Most of the cast is from Toronto. The crew is all from Toronto. So you don't have to worry about traveling and trying to get hotels and trying to get new crew and all of that stuff. So in that sense, it's easier. It is harder because it is Toronto. So it's a big city. There's a big bureaucracy. Things are a little bit expensive. It's like yin and yang.
What can audience expect from this movie in the sense that, okay, we all know the Romeo and Juliet, you know, from grade 10 reading I shouldn't date myself, but back in grade 10, we read Romeo and Juliet and now you're bringing it forth in 2026 with that sort of style. But how do you twist it? How do you make the story fresh for a 2026 audience, especially coming from, you know, the aspect of the Somali community?
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely.
Without giving it away, Mike.
No, not without giving it away. But the way that it is fresh is that you're seeing first-time actors from our community, and you're also seeing seasoned actors that would not have worked together if it wasn't for a project like this. It's all black cast, which is very unique. And also to go back to shooting in Toronto, like, we didn't take that lightly. We wanted to shoot in Toronto, and it did cost us extra money to shoot in Toronto when we could have went to Hamilton or Ottawa, right? So we wanted to make it an impactful thing for in that sense. But yeah, you'll just have to come and watch it. You'll definitely see it's very colorful. There's animation, the music, the soundtrack, and the ending's different, right? It's a Romeo and Juliet, but it doesn't end in the Romeo and Juliet way. So you'll have to come and check it out.
We are speaking this month about women. What were the traditional roles of women that were challenged in this movie that you may think either you were able to either bring those out or change some of the ways that, let's say, East African women are looked upon in this movie?
That's a really good question. That's a really good question. Mohammed, you got your intentions on that?
It wasn't like a full-on challenge. We do have, in the sense of the script and the film, there wasn't a lot of like female challengement and stuff like that. But within our crew, there was a lot of women that were put in the heads of our makeup team, our production. And stuff like that, that really, really helped it out.
Mm-hmm. And within the story, I think what I love about it is that the female characters were so strong, and that they had their own sense of voice and their own sense of identity. And
was that important to you when you took on this project?
Yeah, for sure. I think because, you know, I just speaking from watching my mom and watching my aunties and the women in my community, you know, they're so set in who they are, and they have a strong sense of who they are. And I love that that kind of was able to get communicated through this film, in terms of, like, you know, Halima, she has her job, she has the things that are important to her, and she's not afraid to fight for that. Also, you know, Mona is, you know, providing for her family and creating, you know, building a life, to building a better life for her family. And also Farah's mom having this sense of telling Farah that he can marry whoever he wants, like, don't worry about tribe and stuff like that. Like, all of the women in this film just have like a very strong sense of who they are and wanting to pass that on. And yeah, that was really cool. Really cool to witness.
This is Flow 98.7. This is the talk about you here with the Juice Man, Jonathan Shaw. We are talking with the lead actress or actor, let me get that right, 2026, got to get it right.
It's all good.
And the writer, producer, and director in studio right now. And a question I have for the audience at 416-860-0987. It's a question that I think we've all dealt with it at some time. Have you ever been in a relationship where culture, family, or background made things complicated? What happened? I know for me that, again, I am of a Jamaican background. And when I've decided to talk to somebody who, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we're all from the African diaspora.
Yes.
But they may come from Trinidad. They may come from St. Kitts. They may come from Guyana. They may come from continental Africa. And we all have that question that comes up that says, or even if I try to talk to a Jamaican who's born in Jamaica, I'm not Jamaican enough. Mm. I am not Caribbean enough. oh, you come from Canada? You're not from the Caribbean at all. Right? You don't have any traditions. You are a descendant of slavery. Mm. All of those things. So 416-860-0987. But I want to ask all of you this question, whether it be Andy, whether it be Muhammad, whether it be Faven. Mm-hmm. For me, movies are not just a movie where you leave it and you're like, oh, wonderful. Let's go eat some dinner. Movies are about conversations. What conversation do you want to have happen once people see this movie? I'm going to pose that to any of you.
Well, I think it's so interesting you talk about, you know, you're of Jamaican heritage, but you're born here in Canada. And if you talk to somebody, even from Jamaica, they have questions about it.
Oh, yeah. Trust right? me. Trust me.
And I think that that's part of it. I'm Trinidadian.
Okay.
Okay. And my wife was born in Canada of mm-hmm. Jamaican heritage. Mm-hmm. There was no issue. And we know so many couples who are one part Trinidadian, one part Jamaican. But
hold on. Mm-hmm. You said you're from Trinidad.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I have friends who are from Tobago.
Mm, yes.
And I find they never get mentioned. It's always, I'm from Trinidad. Mm. But isn't it Trinidad and Tobago? Just like I'm from St. Kitts and Nevis. Everybody leaves off Nevis. Right. So if I find for me, one of my favorite places to stay in the world is Tobago. Mm. But you from Trinidad and you left off
Tobago.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, I'm saying I was born in Trinidad. Okay. So I'm saying okay. I'm from Trinidad. But okay. when people ask me in general, like, mm-hmm. where are you from? Like, I'm at all of these screenings where I'm not Somali and I'm not. So I let people know I'm not from the community and I'm so glad to be a part and to understand even more mm-hmm. of the community. They ask, where are you from? I say Trinidad and Tobago. And they, oh, Trinidad and Tobago. Okay, we understand. Right? So, yeah, I'm proud of Tobago. But you make a good point. I'll be even more intentional when people ask me. But this is the conversation. It's not just in the Somali community of this tribalism thing, but the conversation of people from two different cultures, two different races, two different religions. Are those barriers strong enough, big enough, worthy enough to keep love from happening?
Mm.
For me, it would be two things where it would be, I hope at the end of the movie, people realize that we're more alike than different, right? In society, as everyone, as human beings. And the other one would be that growth means that we talk about the taboo-ness in our community. You know what I mean? Stuff that needs to be addressed.
What is one of those taboo things that in this movie you hope that people leave and talk about? What's that you can talk about? I know that the love aspect is a major aspect of it. Mm-hmm. You know, the movie is called A Tribe Called Love.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I love the title, mind you. I love the title for so many reasons. But we'll leave that one alone for now. But what's one of those taboo things that you hope people leave the movie theater and go, yeah, you know what? We don't talk about that enough and we should.
And it's
or better yet, what's an argument you want to have happen as part of this movie?
When it deep down, when it comes down to it, is intergenerational, right? Where I want the older generation to finally get what we've been saying for a long time now. And for the older generation to be like, you know what? Yeah, tribalism needs to end, you know? And that's what the gist of the movie is, because it's a father and a son, mom and a son, and it's just about that interracial drama.
And Faven?
I think like me and my recent experience with tribalism, I think what I learned is the fact of like, it is so isolating, you know, it is such an isolating experience to have this sense of fear towards another tribe or another community. And I think what I didn't realize was how small my community was getting, because it was just fracturing all the time mm-hmm. in this experience. And the one thing that I hoped was, I wish we could go back to this time when I was ignorant about tribalism. And I just felt like there's one love with all my community, being like, we're all East African. We're all from the same part of or the same area of the continent. You know, we all have like cultures and languages and words that we share. And sometimes even just having very similar, you know, sometimes just being able to communicate with each other in our respective dialogues and being able to understand each other because the language is so similar. You know, and it's like wanting to go to that and get back to that. And so I think with this film and when I read the script, I was kind of, it was hitting my heart and my heartstrings a little bit, because I was relating to this sense of like this need to want to no longer separate and isolate each other, but to just come together and to all experience what it's like to be part of like one community that support each other and love each other and protect each other, you know?
I'm going to ask you a director question. Okay. One director to another. You have the talent. You have all the people. You block the scene. You set it up. You have the producer over here. And your talent comes out and they're doing the scene. And you're like, nah. Nah, this, it ain't hitting. And what do you say to, would it be Faven or another one of your actors, to get what's in your mind's eye on, well, it's not tape anymore, but I mean.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Reproduced so you can go back and either edit it, block it, do whatever you need to do. Mm-hmm. But how do you get them to give you that performance? What are some of the things that you say? I know that's the director, you know, and I know, you know, if you're giving away the tricks of the trade, you know, somebody's being like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to do that in my film. I'm going to make them do that. But how do you get them to emote that feeling that I know it's, you know, great actor or, you know, but how do you get them to give you that performance that you need?
So it's telling them to put themselves in that character's head, right? Building the character beforehand, right? What does the character love? What's his favorite food? What does he drink? And making sure that when they're in that scene, I tell them, okay, what happened the scene before? What's going to happen in the scene after, right? And put yourself in this scene right now. What is the character thinking? What is your character doing? And that's how I would do it. That's how I would approach that scene.
Once again, the phone number to call in is 416-860-0987. It is 11:49. Got about 11 minutes left in the show. What? We'll be back. I got a couple of questions I want to ask them, but I won't tell them what they are until after the break. Stay tuned.
The Talk About with the Juice Man, Jonathan Shaw, on Flow 98.7.
Flow 98.7, you're here on The Talk About. We got about 8 minutes left in the show. We are here with the lead actor from the movie A Tribe Called Love. It is about Somali tribalism, all East African cast. We have the writer and the director, Mohammed. We also have the producer in studio, Andy. And I got a couple of questions to ask because, again, it's one of the things that happened in Canada, and that is, how did you get the money to put this together? Where'd you get the funding from? Yeah, I'm going to ask that question.
All right. So Canada is fortunate to have a funding system, a granting system from the government. And so we got most of our funding through government agencies. Telefilm Canada came in with, I would say, 2/5 of the money. Ontario Creates came in with a significant amount as well. tax credits, because Canada has a great tax credit, and different provinces have great tax credit rebate program. So we were able to loan against the expected tax credits that were coming. And then Mongrel Media is our distributor, and they were able to pre-sell the film to Crave and to CBC Films. And from those license fees, they're able to give us an advance to help as well.
So where can those individuals who, I'm assuming, Crave, obviously, but yes, where can people see this movie?
So we are happy to say April 17th, we are opening Canada.
That's Friday.
Not this Friday, but it is a Friday. Yes. Opening Friday, April 17th across the country, starting in Toronto. We'll be at Cineplex Queensway, Cineplex Empress Walk, and the Fox Theater.
So in the Cineplex Queensway, just again, because I'm bougie, is it going to be in the VIP cinema or just in the main cinema? I'm bougie. I'm going to be that guy.
I think right
Cause
now.
Because I want my drink. I want my drink and I want to watch it, you know, in comfort. I'm going to be that guy. I'm bougie. Sorry.
let me say that right now, I think it's in the regular cinema, but hey, ticket sales can always influence decisions. So there's 2 weeks, 3 weeks. If there's enough demand, who knows? Maybe they might hear enough Jonathan Shaw and put it in the VIP.
Send me the link so you know we can get some more people to, you know, watch it and stuff like that and have one of those screenings and that sort of thing.
I'm also happy to say it'll be in Ottawa, Montreal, Edmonton, Saskatoon, and Vancouver. Not necessarily all on the April 17th, but April 17th and the weeks after.
Faven, you're from Hamilton.
I am.
So I didn't hear any Hamilton theaters. What's happening with Hamilton?
Yeah, that's a Mongrel Media distributor, Cineplex.
Mongrel, I think.
You know, but honestly, I mean, Mongrel's been great. So this is not to slam them. But I will say it's all about demand. So it may eventually get to Hamilton if there's demand.
Please, let's get it in the Jackson Square Theater.
Nice. Jackson Square Theater. Okay.
Jackson Square Theater, please.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful.
With the recliner seats.
Muhammad, from the time you had the idea in your head to putting it on paper or computer to finally seeing your movie on a screen or just testing it, what was the timeline like and how difficult was it to put all this together?
The timeline, this has been a 14-year journey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This has been the first script that I wrote after film school.
Would you start writing this when you were 10? Like, you're a young guy.
I'll take that. No, it's been a long journey. And for the longest time, it was just a lonely journey. It was just me. And it wasn't until I met Andy that this project really started to grow some legs and really get to certain places.
Last question I have for all of you. We all know that being a creative is very, very difficult. How do you all deal with no? Faven, I'm going to go to you first.
Oh my god!
Because I know as an actress, again, actor.
There's a lot of no's. It's a lot of no's. I think I heard something recently that I kind of really resonated with, but it's like when you hear a no, you just have to recognize it, acknowledge it, and then like slowly let it go. Because in this industry is all about like creative collaboration and you have to understand that like a lot of the no's that you do get will sometimes have nothing to do with you, but the project as a whole. And so sometimes it's that understanding and that understanding and acknowledgement of the fact that this industry and being in this industry is bigger than just the one audition or just the one meeting. And you're going to be hearing a lot of no's, but all you need is that one yes to get things started, you know? So
very true. Very true.
All you need is one.
Yeah. Muhammad?
Just being consistent and staying with the project. After all the no's you've heard, me and Andy, we've got 3 no's before we got the yes to make this project, right? And each time we just went back to the project. How can we improve it? What can we do? And time after time, you know, you just got to stay to it. And just like Faven said, you just need that one yes. Just that one yes.
Mm-hmm. And Andy.
And I tell you, when we had that one yes from Telefilm, that's the one that really got the ball rolling. I almost cried. It was like, I was like, this is going to change everything. And that's it. So It's if you believe in the project, you have the persistence, you got to keep going until, you know, the dam breaks. And when the dam breaks, then good things happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to be able to say this. I remember when they came in the studio and they had this small film that became a big film.
All right.
And it garnered so many awards. And now we have best actor, best right. producer, best writer, best cinematographer, best director.
Nice.
At the next Oscars. I'm putting it out there because I like to put goodness out in the universe. And I can say, I knew them when. And right, you know, before the show is over, I'm going to take a picture and be like, hey, look at these guys. Remember when I took this picture?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Remember when I did that? So
love it.
I wish you peace and prosperity. It is 12 o'clock, but last words to you. I'm not going to have last words today. Last words to you. How can people follow you, get in touch with you, follow your career, say I knew them when? You know, and the East African community, you know, and others will be following you from now to the end of time. So put it out there. How can they follow you?
Follow us on IG at A Tribe Called Love. That's where you get all the details, all the news about the movie and where it's going.
A Tribe Called Love movie official.
There you go. So yeah, just follow us there and we'll keep you filled in.
You can follow me on Instagram at Faven Abera. Very simple, very easy. That's kind of it right now, unless you want my letterbox, which is Fevin98, but there's not much on there. Yeah.
You know, if we're old school, y'all write letters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I still pen pal sometimes.
Nice. Yeah.